Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Wonderful, wonderful. Another day. This is a great privilege. Yesterday, my show was recorded perfectly, and that's what is expected. I don't need to tell these people tell them thanks, because it's like we're on contract. I'm paying them to do my show. I am doing this show because I am a problem to anyone. It is a matter that information is what keeps people alive and have purpose. If we use it wrong, if we are thinking wrong, well, it's our loss. But it's for us to make proper use of information. And if that's what you feel that makes you okay, it's up to you. As long as you don't bother nobody else, legally. You just can't stop every, offensive impression that you may give off. Because as long as people have an ear to hear, they're going to hear something they don't like too. But nobody, they cannot, I mean, sue anybody in those contexts. All right? So let's try it again today and see, oh, well. Because let me tell you something. If you don't understand that, it is wrong. And it is wrong for people to offend other people. And like I say, it's in the context that you can be sued. I mean, as we know it, there is some kind of a government provision here for you to take action against people when they are wrong. Now, hey, it's a difference with when you are wrong and when you're not. You see, if you inadvertently cause an offense to someone and you are really wrong, but your act was not intended. Now, there is a rule in life that governs justice, which means if you did not intend, and it is clear that you did not intend to commit a crime, and there is nothing there to make you pay, you know, no background or nothing in that, look, you were totally oblivious. You really did not see what to make you take precaution. So you did an act when you thought all was clear. And then, no, something go wrong. Well, in some cases, you will have to still stand liability. But there are other cases where what you do is forgiven because it is clear that was not your intention. Well, if anything, that you have to probably pay some money because it is still you that causes it. I mean, that may involve in some cases too. But there are other cases where you will get off free because, you know, you didn't know. And if you didn't know, you just did not know. So you don't charge people when their act is not a premeditated, because if you notice what people think about is important as a matter of fact. There is an interest in the system of humanity to focus on what a person is thinking. What were they thinking? You know, and in criminal cases, could be applicable to civil cases as well. If you are in trial for something and you prove by evidence that you were not at fault because of the circumstance, not being at fault involves your thinking. What were you thinking when this occurred? So if you go into a court of law and you are charged with an offense, and you are able to show, demonstrate to the court that you were not thinking about that, and you have enough supporting evidence to prove that you could not have been thinking that way. Now, hey, you know, that's going to have to be settled based upon the preponderance of the evidence. It's not you saying, well, I wasn't thinking that way. Because what your action prior to what happened, you produce some fruits from your action. And when your prior actions prove that you were thinking that way, it would never have happened if you were not thinking that way and that way and the other way. So you are trapped. So you can say what we are thinking, the intangible thoughts, we can only trace it after you leave a print, an impression somewhere that shows you were thinking about that stuff. Now, you know this, when somebody's dead, they are dead, that's it. You know, no matter what, how good they were and stuff like that. Once we are dead, we are kept away from this environment because nobody wants to see ghosts unless, you know, it's a welcome ghost. All right. But what I'm trying to say, in general, no exception, people's conscious thought is valuable, whether negative or positive. All right. And so then it becomes extremely critical when it, you know, all over the world, you know, you have courthouses to settle issues between people. And we go on to like historic knowledge about the human history. And it's very important to have a good mind that makes sense. And a good a mind that makes sense, if you're pure enough to think objectively, which means you care for everyone. Like we talk about the energy of love. Love. The kind of love we're talking about, humanitarian love. The love and respect for people is not two things, it's one thing. And when your mind changes and you start to do things negative, different from, you know, peaceful, nice way, then you're going to be judged by what your mind is at any given time. Now, just think about the importance of having a good regulatory positive mind, where you don't want to get tangled up into certain mental influence come from something. You see, as I noticed, that how crucial my thinking is and how I am hurt a lot of times by something in my mind. It's not like I devote to think so, but you can't stop certain type of impression from going on in your mind. We are a multifaceted human brain of... It seems like we should be able to control our thoughts to the most infinite degree, but that's not true. A lot of time, things are going on in your mind. And even when you go to sleep, sometimes you start dreaming. And if you notice some of the dreams that we have, we are in the dream functioning on that level of psychological function. In the dream, we could be having a conversation with someone. You could dream of seeing someone, and negative or positive, you could be dreaming about somebody who is alive too. And you can dream about people who are dead, right? So let's go it whichever way we like to take this now, because since you can dream about dead people, yeah, so we call them dead people, they're dead and gone. We can dream about live people. Yeah. So find out. I'm finding out a piece of science about my own mind and the effects of the thought process. And I realize when I look at certain things, I feel an influence between me and that object. You know, it could be the face of a human, okay, or anything else. But let's say, you know, there's a lot between human and human, and there is a lot more for us to know about the effects that we experience between that person and yourself. Really. And let's say when it comes to sexual influence between you and the opposite, because I'm not bringing any unnatural thing into what I'm saying. I'm talking about straight civility. Okay? So I ain't talking about gay love, nothing like that. They call themselves, right? Me not that, because that's not civilized people culture that behave that way. They are uncivilized culture. Gay people are uncivilized, 100%. So if you allow them to come and tell you about Christianity and gay life and God make them too and stuff like that. No, God, what we know about in Elohim, creation of mankind, don't deal with none of them things there. It is straight civilized thing that created hybrid human beings. So if we don't get to read and know, we better do, because I'm telling you, a lot of things are getting out of control and may never come back under control for a lot of people. Now, I am devoted finding out that, you know what? Since you're a human being, there are critical things to understand about the way you feel, and let's say about relationship between people. Sexual impression is stronger than anybody walk planet Earth. Sexual attraction. So if you don't have a sense of knowing, being conscious of what you are able to do, like to manipulate your own emotions, mean to have control that you can have, which means it's like, all right, if when you look at this person, you think all kind of foolishness where you don't want to think about, don't look on them. Don't look. Because I find out, you know, that's about the right thing to do. But the point is, when what you're feeling and what you're sensing, when you're looking, you know, you're not about to do anything, but it's like you're having a problem to lose the sensation or the essence. You know, you want to be thinking a lot of things, but It's not that you decide to do anything. However, though, the effect that certain things can have on us when we see or hear them, even music, you know, hearing, seeing, or smelling and stuff like that. Yeah, it was at a certain time that I, in a certain study, come to realize how even animals underwater, how their love can affect the other one. Well, so are we affecting each other without you even touch the person. You can see somebody walking along, you know, say, let's say, in close proximity to you. And that person's smell can affect you. It may be like perfume, you know. However, based on what this study tells, you don't have to smell anything to be attracted to someone. There is a more invisible energy there with that person distance away from you, and you can sense something. No, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to do anything, but talking about the way you feel about it. You have a lot of involuntary effect to experience, and you wonder, you don't know the reason why you feel so, but that person is carrying an energy, and an energy that you can't see, but you can experience it. So there can be an energy between you and that person in sight. And it doesn't mean that it's going to lead to anything. But the energy is there. And you sense the energy. Now, it is for us to decide how to teach ourselves, you know, teach ourselves, because this is something that ruined a lot of people, you know, where, you know, you can't, your daughter away from, say, your man, whether or not, I'm not talking about her, your child's father, not talking about that, you see, but you can have a few children and the father is not around, maybe dead or whatever it is, and then the mother is married to someone else, and these children, either they are grown or some of them still growing, you know, in the home, and you have these kind of situation where people energy affecting each other. And if your daughter is a teenager or something like that, and then this husband, her husband and the daughter may be having situation with energy field, you see what I mean? Because as you can see, sexual energy is something that we are to be educated about, because it's about intangible feeling, a way that you feel, and it's different from what you would really want. Because if you were to follow all of your feeling, you see, you don't have enough to share yourself if you were to follow every feeling. So you have to have a sense of knowing that this is a human experience and you must put yourself on the safe side. Well, you see, some men, they can't never think about having one woman as a companion. It's like it's not in their perception that they can only have one woman. You see? So they don't have that regulatory adjust, you know, mind to know that all the things that involve in a relationship and what you should be concerned about. And it should be about purity that you hold, and it protects your life and protect those around you, you know, to not do certain things. Don't say certain things, because you can destroy the life you're trying to live. And if you don't keep certain discipline, you don't have a good life. So if you are tempted to get into relationship, let's say, with your wife's daughter, that is never, ever going to be a good thing. But what if this young girl is so sexy and nice and charming, and, you know, you feel temptation, like you'd like to gratify yourself too, you know, when it's okay. I mean, when I say okay, I mean, there are available time or blah, 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 and you can get away with it. Nobody don't know. Well, but you really don't know how things can work out, you know, because the next thing is that, you know, you're going to get so trapped into these feelings with your, you know, your, what you call it now, stepdaughter or whatever them call that. But your wife's daughter may find it difficult to want to do without you. And maybe don't care if, you know, you and her can move away and get together. Is that the life you want? You know, so what I'm trying to say here, humanly speaking, we have serious problems that we are to face. Because if we don't face them, the time will come when energy is going to draw you in a direction it's not good for you. Because when you don't have your safeguard up, you will want to do stuff that, of course, you're going to enjoy yourself, but guess what? That enjoyment is not going to reinstate the integrity of your life. So if you don't instruct yourself into discipline, and know that it's just a charm that you're going to feel it. And when you're feeling it, that feeling is like push out all of the precautions and stuff like that you should hold to protect, you know, the sanctity of your life, and that you don't feel like you have to do it. You know what I mean? So you have to get tough and become, you know, have realization as to what your feeling is. And remember, once you gratify your feelings, you leave the breeze. Yeah, when you do certain things, and especially when you're going to have after effect, follow you, because you do something and it's in a secret, but it's percolating. You see what I mean? And when you can't fight your feelings, and especially if you don't do nothing, you have a chance to be free and keep yourself where you belong. But if you do certain things and commit yourself, hey, nobody can see it, but I tell you what, you're going to do something. And then it won't be any secret anymore. So when you mash up life, you know, it's not like a car, you know, you go throw it in the dump heap. You still around and and live and living. And when somebody have to, like, you know, just, I mean, get you away from them, don't want to see you again, and then you are looking and say, well, you know, but you had something good going on, and you mash it up, and nobody cannot trust you anymore. I mean, nobody, I mean, is relevant to it. They won't trust you anymore. And life could go on. If we don't nurse life, life will destroy us. All right. So I want to thank you for tuning into the program today. I am saying this because I realize that life is going to be like a challenge that we cannot meet. Because if we don't learn certain things and willing to accept that way of life, and there is nothing, you know, like bring things down to, let's say, a realization that you find, all right, if you think this way, you are okay. But if you start thinking the other way, you know what? You're going to be weak. You're going to get drawn into something, you can't pull yourself out. And that's when your life is going to get destroyed. You see, because a lot of times what we destroy ourselves for is something sweet on your tongue, in your mouth. But once you allow energy to take you in that direction. Remember, your physical act is a surrender to what you're thinking. And when you get drawn into some idea, something, and something that you could really turn away from, but it's like you didn't have anything else that is making you feel like you have life, and you get away. And I find out a lot of thoughts that come into my mind is not something that I want. I want to think, but it keeps on haunting. And I know that no matter how I felt, like, especially in my younger days, if I feel, sentimental, you know, or, you know, romantically, you know, concerned. When I say concerned, you know, I feel an attraction. You know, I mean, you just sense that, you know, like, delightable kind of admiration, right? And I could be thinking about this person because clearly I don't have anything in my mind that is superior to what I'm thinking. And I would just be thinking about this girl and, you know, some of these feelings are unique. Unique, because, you know, it's you just feel like, oh, you know, you're alone, and, you know, oh, if we could be together and stuff like that. Now, sometimes I was thinking stuff along that line that I don't want to stop thinking about it. You understand that? Yeah, we both understand that. And you know what? It's a problem to fall asleep. You know, what this song, Oro Simit, or what his name is. You know, I don't want to sleep because I'm going to miss you, baby. I don't want to miss a thing. That type of stuff, you know, used to get me. And throughout the years, I do a lot of thinking, psychological thinking, because I just did not like the idea that psychologically I cannot resolve my problem, psychological problem. Whereas I am finding out if I as long as it is possible for me to discover that, let's say, when I go fall asleep, I don't remember anything else, that is a piece of science for me. For me to realize that I shouldn't think that way about it, right? About this someone, to where I don't want to forget them. I don't want to fall asleep because I'm going to miss what I am thinking. Oh, gosh. Now, I pick up a few clues to make my thinking do some work for me, to help my mind to preserve itself. Because I say, but when I am asleep, I don't remember it as much as I felt when I am awake and don't want to sleep. I want to keep on, like, dreaming. All right? So I realized that if I can forget it, even like for 15 minutes, I am awake, but somehow I'm doing something and I realize there are always spells where I don't remember this for a certain amount of time, and then it will come back. So I realized that, oh, well, since I can, all I need is to forget at any time without feeling that, oh, I don't want to miss a thing. You see what I mean? So there's a lot of power inside of us if we are interested and know that we're not losing anything. If you just don't bother, pay attention to that, because all you need is a different energy than the one that is making you, you know, losing your peace of mind. All we want is to know that, don't get married to know one kind of energy that is pulling you down. Don't get married to it, because you could give in to an energy that is so compelling and, all right, give yourself to it, and then it wouldn't be a long time before you realize it wasn't all that. It wasn't lasting, because there is a heck of a thing when you get used to. You understand what I'm saying? When you get used to something that you like, even you go to some other things, anything that your mind is experiencing, and it could be music, it could be, you know, somebody's company, it can be anything of the sort. If you know that you can invoke a different energy to create a barrier between you and something else that is haunting you or stuff like that, you just need to think of something. Point is, if you cannot be absent from the thing that is enticing you, you have a whole bunch of trouble. Well, so you have to just think in the you know, with a greater force of knowledge, to know that, okay, if you're not thinking about this person, there's nothing wrong. Don't feel like, okay, you're going to die, or that person is going to, well, it's just you. You're not going to die because you forget thinking about this person for whatever time. No, it's not that it's wrong for you to think about anything or someone. But if you just feel like, oh, you're obsessed and you can't give up any moment to forget what you're thinking, you know, then you have serious trouble. But what I'm trying to say, you don't give up your liberty those kind of way. And if you don't mature enough, you don't make no sense of what I'm saying. Thing that hurt us in these kind of ways, and we're talking about our mental operation now, there is something for us to learn about our our brain and how it functions. And if we want to, like, you know, get the wing of the birds, and I look at those big birds up there, man, and see how they do their wing. They're like the big jumbo jets, as it were, you know, and see how they maneuver their wing. You know, they don't fly like a little bird, but a big bird. You know, I didn't know certain time in life that birds can that be big. Wow. You know, like some a dog out there, they want to eat a dog. Those birds, they come down and pick up the dog and take it up, go eat it. I mean, these birds are a wonder to me. However, what I'm talking about is my greed for psychological power, to be unlimited, to have a freedom that I need, that nothing at all, I mean nothing, in flesh, bone, iron, or what? Nothing at all, and nothing should, for real. Nothing, if we know how to think. All right. So now, coming around to our existence. You know, we were born an infant, right? And what makes us grow into an adult, man? It's a lot of awesome stuff, you know. What causes us to be human, and you know, it is beyond what we can ordinarily understand. But any amount of the knowledge that makes us who we are, that we can perceive and actually draw upon as a power, I mean, because this is serious stuff, of a mental introspection and to understand many unspeakable things about ourselves. That's the greatest experience. You see what I mean? And you can only come to find out that if you can maneuver yourself psychologically and don't let the frost bite you, life is going to be extraordinarily different. Yeah, and you can ride a lot of tides. And whenever there may be a downtime where your mind is not functioning on that level where you can be benefited by these greater power that you know, because sometimes you can't just access these type of thinking. You know, you feel so down and you feel like you are, you know, you don't feel that inspiration and have that inner focus. So sometimes we are down. It's like the computer is down for a while, you know. You go on some website and they said, well, they are down and they are working on it to put it back in, you know, working. Sometimes our mind is like that. A lot of things perplex us and things. However, though, as long as we don't commit ourselves to no impurity, you can be down as much as ever. You just know that when you're down and find ways how to, like, bring yourself back. And remember that anytime you get back, your system is up, you are going to be ready to fly high. You know what I mean? And you cannot give up that. You cannot give up the moments when you are flying high and there is nothing preventing you. All right. Let's think now. On this level that I'm talking about, you don't bring no humanity problem into it. Because, you know, that is a bondage that we want to get out of. We want to know how to use our minds, not to anybody else's wish, but to your own self. Be an independent person and enjoying the ability that your brain provides. Your brain is the master of your life and of which you make manifestation and, you know, and make other people blessed too. By the way you are operating. It comes to, if you want to think big about human civilization, that's a very, very, very serious thing. But if we want our minds to get into the human civilized dynamic, then it is something that you have to purify yourself of all of these white people things that they use and mangle up the civilized world. These church thing and all these other things that they have in the world, we will never see the light of day if those things are a part of our thinking. And when you're under the church thinking, you just feel like that's the greatest thing you know about God and Jesus and the devil and stuff. A lot of those things don't make any sense, but we don't get a chance to think well enough and to come in contact with these things that are not making any sense and keeping us down instead of rising up. So, give account for the way things begin. And if you process things based on the way things begin, you will never, look, your wings will always be, you know, keeping you up there where you want to be. Now, what my life is my thinking, because I make discoveries and I come to find ultimate understanding in structure and form, okay? And I realize that, you know, if I were not thinking this way, my life would be, you know, I mean, much devalued. I find out. When you're thinking the real thing, you find out the logic of things, but more so, find out about yourself and what you need, or you need to think to keep away foolishness that, like a germ, it come in and weakens your thinking, your hope, your trust, you know, your joy, you know, your happiness. We have to think real critical to understand what can make us fly and have the joy that we're supposed to have. Foolishness is going to really, really take away all of that from us. So, I come to find out things that I'm not hearing, since when you're thinking this way, you don't expect to find other people to talk about these kind of stuff. So by me being on the radio now, you know, it's a good thing where I can communicate with people who have this, you know, feel the same way of embracing our time while we are alive. No, you know, before you get too old and you can't think and stuff like that. You know, I'm over 70 and I probably don't sound like I am up here, but I mean, a few more years, I'll be 80 years of age. However, it's a good thing that I always wanted to think premium thoughts, that nobody is affecting the way I think, because I realized long time I can do the quality thinking. Well, you probably, if I tell you this, when I was very young, I was really thinking, I'm going by myself, going anywhere back in Jamaica, stuff like that. You know, I walk a few miles, you know, in the bushes. And I always been thinking. And since I know the Bible, I didn't know anything else. It's the characters in the Bible that I was drawn to. And of all the characters in the Bible, I resonate with the character of Jesus and St. Paul. Really? That's true. Not Peter, not Matthew, not nobody else in the Bible character. Not, you know, I mean, God was in a class by itself, God, okay? Because God is the Father of Jesus Christ. So in my youthful mind, I look at it in this order, that God is the boss of everything, and Jesus is his son, and Jesus reports to him, and, you know, but St. Paul was a genius at reasoning, right? So I like the way in which they think, you know, and the way the arrow is always pointing for them. So, yeah, I was thinking that I would like to be, you know, as it were, a Superman. Something like that. I mean, not of this same words, but I really felt something in me that thinking along that line, I think if I, as it were, something that I am fond of. I want to be, let's say, it's not like I felt like I want respect from anybody. I just feel like knowing the right things about life makes me who I am. What I'm supposed to be. That's the way I felt. It has nothing to do with me comparing myself with anybody else. I don't have inferiority complex. And if I have superiority complex, superior to what? It would be only be a matter of, like I mentioned before, I want to have the thing for me. And I'm not measuring myself with anybody else. Because if whatever I do, I want to do it the way, the best way that I know how. And my knowing how has nothing to do with anybody. It has to do with me. All right. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So I wanted to be a Superman. But my Superman is only to affect me. And whilst anything I can do or anything I have that can be good for someone else, it is going to be good for someone else. But what I do to say obtain something has nothing to do with I am thinking how people would think about me, and everybody wants to become elevated because of people. They are thinking about other people dimension opposed to their or against theirs. I am a person who don't think as a wealthy person money wise. Money does not get out of context with me. I am not greedy for money. Even if I'm hungry, I'm not greedy for money. The way I'm going to find something to eat, going to be the way that I'm going to eat. I want something to eat, and I look for something to eat, and I'm not trying to steal from anybody. So that's the kind of temperament that I have. But I felt as a child that there is a superior way to think than the general society around me. So it's not aimed at an individual. I'm talking about the society, our world around me, that when I go anywhere, I don't hear anybody saying certain things. They're saying some things that, you know, everybody else saying. And I am seeing some things that are different. So what I want to do, I would like to learn from anything that somebody is saying that I find something in there. I find something in there. They may not know that I find something in what they say, but, you know, that's my attitude. I learn from any source that I would say, okay, I can do well with that too. Yeah. And they all get into my treasure trove of thought. And I am fashioned with those type of thoughts. And I'm not going anywhere anybody else think I'm going. I'm going in the direction that make up the structure and the form of the way I want to think. So changing my attitude that would be wild and don't care and stuff like that was very important to me. And I work on the control of my, you know, over myself and what I don't find to measure up with the way I want to be. So I tear down a lot of stuff outside of me that was not the way I want to keep myself. So to keep myself from getting into certain kind of stuff, I have to talk a certain kind of way. But it becomes the way I want. You know, it's not that I'm talking and I don't want to talk that way. No, it becomes part of me, my attitude. Okay? I want to know the truth about something. And, you know, I have discretion whether or not, you know, this this is not something I would like to fight about. You know, and so you leave things that you don't really need into your scope. You know, you leave it alone. But whenever there is something crucial and you have some lies and hypocrisies and you have confusion going on, I don't want a part of that. I am serious about what is detrimental to life. I'm protecting life. And you can't do that well enough if you don't put your mind to study the dynamics of things and the way energy works and the context in which everything is routed. You have to know. So I am a bit friendless, you know, at this point in my life, because I have gone beyond a certain audible level with my attitude and the way that I am, the way I am. Now, when I realized that the Bible was not a book for civilized people, and having all those objects, belief that I had, I had to start moving out ideas and opinions and attitude. I have to start cleaning out. You see what I mean? And I couldn't just do it all in one day. It's a gradual process. So I keep on thinking. So I am somebody will find me to be an ultimate person, and that some things I don't move off certain things that I hold, because it's a way of thinking where I don't find anybody else around me establish any position with this. So they, when somebody's thinking just like everybody else, and their opinion is this way and stuff like that, you can't really talk or do anything with that person because they are not learned enough. You know, let's say to challenge this or so. So when I am with a person or with people that understand the dynamics of thought, words, and how we arrive at a perfect, solid, positive decision. If you have not been doing certain thinking, you won't be able to apply rules and principle for certain things. You just don't, because you don't think that way. So I thought to myself that thinking this way would benefit me in life. And it has nothing to do with anyone. I am not trying to cater to anyone or anything but me. And surely, I don't hurt anybody else because I am all of the positive way of looking at things. And you don't want to get me against you in anything. For one, I don't look like a person who thinks much about anything. So it's not easy to suspect me, because I think that generally I don't let off any signal, any energy that where somebody needs to say, hey, you better watch for him. I don't let off anything. You know? But then,
You know, it's like you're going to get trapped, you know, in a cage because you don't know that the cage is set to slam on you. And that's the way I turn out to be. You start, you know, going the wrong way with me until, you know, you find out that no. I'm like a snake. I'm going to bite you. And it is your words, your attitude and stuff like that that's going to carry you there. Because you don't think that I work anything, you know, I can do anything. But now I'm going to start talking to you. I'm going to say certain things to you that you know that, oh, you don't know nothing about that. You need to know something about this. Otherwise, you wouldn't go about chatting what you don't know. I want to thank you for tuning into the program. I feel all right today. I'm working on things. And one of the thing that I notice, when along the way of my thinking, you know, I have been bugged a lot, like with things that I don't want to think about. I don't want to feel this way. And I go through a lot of that. And I realize that once I have completed an observation and a certain attitude and a certain piece of knowledge, psychological knowledge, when I think I would never have to be bothered about it anymore, I find out that's not true. The same things that I have settled comes back and face me like the first time I gonna have to deal with it. You know what? That frustrate me some, because I always think that my ascent to understanding dynamical forces that is working inside of me, I should not have to go back and fight the same thing that I've been through. And I'm thinking, so okay, well, this means then if I am for real and I work through that problem that, you know, is a problem in the way for me to move on, and the same thing that I overcome and comes back like I've never dealt with it before. And I find out that, you know what? I really understand the attitude I am to have when I think about people out there who cannot find their way. I mean, their way to live a better life, and they are trapped by unlearned ways, societal ways. I realize that, oh, well, if this is the way it's playing out to me. Well, if you think that you have it and it comes back again, well, at least you know that you're past through it. So why would you bother yourself now with this again? You should be able to just one punch and knock that out. But that's not the way it works. You will prove that you can pass through this again like it is the first time. Listen, I understand why a lot of people don't want to talk to me. But the thing is, I see that something is going on in my head. And I have the forte to think down on the muck that is in my brain and fix it, let it go right. You know what I mean? And my track record is being a nice person. I've never been, you know, what you call negatively selfish. You know, I've done a lot of the soul searching to take out all of the things that prevent me. Like, if you're causing a problem for me, and you know, I know how to like get around that and don't make bother, you know, prevent me going forward. I have a lot of stuff. And as far as I was never violent, you know, and as far as somebody offending me and stuff like, and let me feel, you know, angry with them and stuff like that, I am never going to go in a violent route. No, but I mean, I see myself, I could be somebody who's ready to, I mean, fire my fist at anybody and stuff, but I didn't choose that. I didn't choose to fight. I feel to think, because there is a power in your attitude. And if you can't use your attitude, I mean, which means to fashion your attitude. Fashion your attitude. If you're having a hard time with yourself, begin to fashion your attitude. Because your attitude is the giant, is the force that if you have it right, ain't nobody stopping you, but you are not right in one way. You must be right comprehensively. You see what I mean? Your logic must be impeccable. You can't be talking selfish and, you know, contrary stuff into it. No, it must be perfect. It must be perfect that you can deal with anyone, any situation, and the best in life. And so, it teaches me the word science process. We need to understand what we say, because each time you use a word, you are pointing, your arrow is pointing at a subject or an object. There's a situation there that you're referring to in your words. And it being recorded, whether or not you know, but nothing go out, you know, lost in the universe. It's just that, you know, you can see motion picture of people who are dead and gone long, 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 long time ago. And now, if it's an artist or anybody at all in life doing things, you can see if they are talking and their animation with their hands, their finger, or, you know, their head, they're nodding, or, you know, I mean, you know, whatever be your bodily motion. You know, even if the picture is 100 years old, it has not lost your imagery and your personage, your winking and stuff like that. It is still there. So we can see that the intangible world full of what we don't know about. So I want to be humble enough to get enough of those things to make me a grand and the grandest person that I can be. And I am saying able to get me some or as much as I can is to know how to nurture my attitude. my attitude. I can't be somebody that gets slack up and nurture my attitude, because the kind of me that will come out if I don't discipline my attitude, discipline it, because I want to do that. If I don't want to do it, it's not going to come out right, because I must have all the wisdom and the knowledge to make this work every time. So if that's what you want to be, well, I can't like try to invoke somebody to make people notice that, because the context in which I'm talking, it has nothing to do with making you like people to pay you attention. Never want people to pay you attention unless it is a practical, there's use for that. Have use for somebody paying you attention. That is a manufacturing thing. You want it done because there is a purpose. But just want somebody to like admire you because and stuff like that, you know, and respect you because you have money or a lot of education or something like that. You know, you're sophisticated. That is not a real positive virtue. If you want people attention, you're not going anywhere in what I'm talking about. To lift yourself up because of you, not because of nobody. You know, I was in church, and when I began to learn that the church is not good, I am always trying to work on my inner core. So if I find something about the church, I don't find out everything one time, but gradually I find out things. So, you know, so the mass build up. I would never leave church. I am not somebody who would want to leave church. But right as I am right now, if you can prove something to me and I realize that I have something to change, I am going to change. But I can't change if I don't have a sense of what you're talking about. You have got to be able to relate to me the issue. I can see it because we have spirit of discernment. So show it to me. Inner eye, see into what you're saying. Because if you're not making sense, you're not making sense. The context of self must be there. The light must shine and approve of what you say. So you don't talk a whole bunch of foolishness and then expect somebody to accept what you say. So my thing is, it's not my standard. I learn things because they are there in our psyche for us to deal with it. And I'm not going off that track because I see you like I see myself. So I don't, and the way I want to be, I want to see you be, because we have the same human propensity and we have human attitude, but nobody cannot fashion your attitude for you. So I am learning universal principles. We are human beings and we follow the universal principle. And it is your mind, your conscious mind, that go introspectively into your brain and go reason with those things. Our brain come from creation of the universe. And we are a special type of humans, and whatever the inner, whatever is being, you know, coming to you on your inner core, is for you. Nobody cannot do nothing for you on that. You will have to, like, take the class inside of your brain, because your brain has everything in there. I don't mean every single thing that we know about, because different things are different things. But talking about your meditation and what you can control on your inside, can you find fault with yourself? If you cannot find fault with yourself into the what I'm talking about, because you have to be able to find where you have shortcomings. Like if you're impatient, if you like find out that you like to insult people and different kind of stuff, you have to know what is right from what is wrong in that sense. And you're not losing anything when you're correcting yourself. You know, you're making yourself into someone that goes on a higher level than where you were when you weren't thinking like that. Once you start to think on this level, and you want to bring all, you know, the positive level of thoughts, then you are making yourself who you're supposed to be, and it's nobody else's business but yours. And you manifest what you come to find as an energy that works and works for all, not just for you. All right. So I don't specialize in something that I think, oh, that's my version and you must go by my version. No. Truth, equity, and all these nice energy that make us human beings to whatever we are. You know, these things are there for us. And if you decide to purify yourself, learn the right word science process in things, that when you talk, you're not talking away from things. You have to be ready to bring together the intangible thought that you have, that the word gives you, and bring it to the tangible thing, object, that it is talking about. So if you don't know that, you're not going to find out. So again, my friends, come back to human civilization. What I have found, in order to understand human civilization, you have got to get a good sense of the first human that came on earth. Before that, we don't have any history of anything that is related to humanity, right? Scientific findings and stuff like that. Of before, nobody was here as human beings. In order for us to understand human existence, you have got to know before anyone came about. So do you know who the first human were on Earth? You need to know that. If you don't know that, let what I'm saying help you. Let what I'm saying help you, because this is not just something that is applicable to me or a few people. It is talking about existence, clear cut and dry. So if nobody were here, what do you have to say about anybody at all? Nothing. Nothing at all. So all the people that have something to say about this and about that, endlessly, people of all kind of different things. I mean, well, you know, if it is, you know, positive things, I'm not talking about useful things, because we have that arena where people have ideas about something, but these are not eternal things. These are some like miscellaneous human things, right? So you put that where it belongs. But when we are going to talk about universal things, infinite things, you have got to go with the top of the stream of the idea that we're talking. And the top of the stream has to do with before any human being came on the planet. Let's say on the planet Earth here now, we're dealing with the planet Earth, a solar system, right? Because there are other things to say beyond the solar system. But we're not dealing with that. We're dealing with the solar system, the sun that shines every day for us. And we're dealing with the Earth that we are on, that is 24-hour day and go around 12 months. Make 1 year. So we have the yearly cycle. We have the monthly cycle, which is the revolution of the Earth every 24 hours, right? That is what make up the fashion of our life. All right. How are you going to able to, or are you going to able, or how are we able to talk about humanity when we don't know about the first human being on Earth? You just can't. You just cannot. I'm not joking. You just can't. You can't talk about something that did not exist. You're talking fiction there. So what I'm saying here is this. We are not going to have So I am saying, if at all we are going to have a legitimate conversation about the world and civilization, you have to draw your belt tight, because this is not a subject matter that you can just talk anything. Because the lack of existence of mankind on planet Earth went on for billions of years. So the time when mankind, say, evolved on Earth has one time signature. Okay? Can you think of that? I mean, can you visualize? Billions of years, there was no, on whatever shape the Earth was in, water cover it or whatnot and stuff like that. Look, we just want whatever it may be. What it is what it is. Right? If you want to talk about humanity, I'm not talking about rock, stone, and the hills and the mountains. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about human existence. Time that human being came to be. The first human being. That as a time. I say time signature that you can't fix it. At a different time. So, if we're talking about humanity, we're going to have a full report at what the first human being was like. World is a textbook right here. Us not. So, what happened to humanity then? Because we talk about the evolution, the evolution type of mankind. Right? Well, we don't really have a Bible to tell you, you know, that a God did, you know, take mud and make them in a garden or not like that. We don't have nothing like that. So if you think that the Bible is telling about a creation of mankind, you know, you have yet to read and find out what the Bible is talking about. Because it's not telling us about no creation of anything. Right? And if you want people who don't care about information of the first human on earth, today we know they're hominid, okay? They are hominid, and later on they have their subgroup, like the Homo erectus. All right. Well, all right. We can talk about the hominid and Homo erectus. I mean, forever. But what if we want to bring enlightenment to the world about humanity? Where would you go from here, from where we are here? We know about the evolved creatures in Africa, right? So we're going to put it on the geography now, Africa. And let's say they are there to where we are here, like some 3 to 4 million years in total. All right. So what else do we have to say? You know what? I think I bring you to a point for you to go with the thought about knowing fully by history about humanity. How about me leave you right where we are right now? There was no one, and then there is the first humankind. Now we know it's not only one human species that exists, and the first species is called hominid. And you probably will know what the description of the hominid is. May not want to rake up anything, but it is a consequence of one wanting to find out how things in the human sense began on planet Earth and follow the arrow. How human developed to where we are, and you will know and have enough knowledge about human existence. All right. If we follow this kind of focus on object, and the object is human existence. It doesn't matter how many human beings on Earth today. We know there was a time there was none. We know there was a time we have at least one or two human beings, and it developed from there. All right. So we see how they develop and tell us how they leave out of Africa and go into Europe. Now, you know that. Well, look, you don't want nobody interfere with your reading judgment. So this is what I'm trying to say. You have to have the right attitude if you want to deal with the truth and, you know, step out of any belief basket where anybody have you in, because the truth is the truth. And like I'm saying, go to the head of the stream. You hear me? To the head of the stream, because where we are here today, I can't tell you what position to hold about anything. You can't tell me unless we walk from the head of the stream the head of the stream for mankind, is like when you talk about in Genesis, in the beginning, God created. If you want to find out what God created on planet Earth, you don't read the Bible for that. Because the Bible, why should you believe what the Bible says? When the actual history that tells us human being existence is not from the Bible. Nobody writing the Bible is writing the history of human being. So you know all that. So if you allow the church to program you into what it says, there's a lot of things behind you that you have not taken note of. And therefore, you have a problem with the things you believe that don't come from the head of the stream where humanity is coming from. Why you make somebody fool you like that? Well, you know what? Just think that I did not know that by my parents, my church, leaders are nobody at all. Thanks to the gods that opened my inner eye to read and notice time and judgment. That's what I began to do. That's what, and I don't miss anything. So if you want to stay with your belief and stuff like that, and all the churches and stuff like that out there, that's a world of confusion, a world of falsehood, what you're reading in the Bible and about salvation, not a single thing go like that. And it is the more you begin to read and understand that the world is not corrupt like the Bible is telling you. The Bible is making a corrupt world. That's what happened, because you're not seeing no human being started out life in the Bible. The Bible has destroyed people's brain more than you think. And it is because my eye opened why I'm able to talk and say the things I do. Well, look, if I am not right about what I am saying, I always have my arms open for somebody to call me and tell me where I'm wrong at. You see what I mean? If I am wrong about anything that I say, I am always waiting for somebody to come to me and say, I think you made an error right here, you know, about human existence. Because I don't want to hear the midstream stuff that people talking about, because I didn't arrive at anything concrete listening to midstream talk, argument. You have to go to the beginning. Isn't that what the Bible says? In the beginning, God created. So that means even if what they're saying in the Bible is not true, the truth must be someplace else. Go look for the beginning. This is what I'm trying to say. Now, what's wrong with what I'm saying? It means then I have a right to go there and tell, you know, what they call the federal government, that, look, you need to get out of here. You need to get out of here, man. Because, first of all, you cannot be for real. Because you are, where are you coming from? Now, if you, I wrote and I asked these guys here, I mean, you know, they're in government and they're talking about justice and stuff like that. I'm writing and I'm asking them to tell me what species they are. You know, I talked to another communication that I said, you cannot identify people by a place and by language, you know, because you can never find nobody like that. You have to find out what species they are. Okay, my friend, I I'm saying, this person wrote me back and telling me some things like, oh, giving me some names of place and stuff like that. You see? So I said to the person, you know, I notice you don't understand what I told you. So, you know, unless you want to read what I say all over again and see if you understand, you know, if we have a meeting of the mind on this. But right now, you know, I can't go any further with the conversation. So there are critical things for us to know. And because we have the church corruption. I mean, I would never think at all that the church was not a good thing, because nothing else was floating around the place. It seems like a complete knowledge about God and Jesus and stuff like that. And, you know, clearly, I was like in a psychological dumpster as far as having knowledge is concerned. And so, you know, after I begin to read, I begin to find out that, oh, the civilized world is different. And it took me a while to know exactly what civilization is. It's when I'm reading prehistory and seeing what was happening from way back in time back there. I know what civilization is, because now when I tell people what civilization is, they cannot cope with it because they are under the Bible corruption and perception of what is true from what is not true. The Bible is not going to give it to you. And if you feel distress about that, there's a way to relieve your stress in major in what the truth is. Do you get the truth from the top of the stream, or you get it down the middle, or down at the foot, down top? You don't learn anything that way. And that's what the church represents. Something in the middle of the stream, if it is anywhere in the stream. But let's say it like that, you know, you have to go, just like you started language and the alphabet, A, B, C, D, you know what I mean? You have to start there, otherwise you aren't going to learn this language. So I want to thank you for tuning into the program. Now, I want to go to another segment is relevant to what I was saying about start at the beginning. Now, if I begin to talk to you about the solar system and talk about the solar calendar, what do you know about that? How would you know if I am making sense? Would you? All right. Now, look, I tell you something. I see a dear friend of mine, and we're good friends for many, many years, and my friend live in a few states up north, and, you know, I am a South Floridian. And this, you know, we don't talk very often, but then now and then we talk. Now, this is someone who is well schooled, have good education. I don't have much of it. I have high school, right? I tell you that. And I have a paralegal certificate. So I think prior to the last time I talked to this person, I asked the individual a question, and it would fall in the line of what I just asked a while ago. How would you know? This is not what I asked the person, but something similar to this. I am putting out the question to you, to my audience now, for an example. Talking about midstream issues, dealing with human existence. If you don't have a top of the stream knowledge about human existence, I am talking about the solar calendar. Would you know what I'm talking about? You may know what a calendar is, yes, but I'm talking about more advanced knowledge about the calendar, what it's about in total. Calendar four, right? In total, the why and the why not about the calendar. Is the calendar a civilized thing? And if so, why? Now, I say something like, you know, what I'm saying to you here, to my friend. And it could be, I mean, like, if I ask her, what is the meaning of AD Anno Domini? Whatever I ask this individual, it was something pretty simple, but it probably, for some people, it wouldn't, they wouldn't be familiar with it because they don't really bother with that. In this society that we are in, people don't stick to certain basic knowledge, you see, because just like the Bible, you don't recall, I don't think, that you could find a dictionary in your school, I would think, yes, but that is not, you know, much of the problem. But you have a problem with when somebody don't know what AD Anno Domini is. And I think it probably come along in that line where this person did not handle well in the response. Like, oh, they'd have to go research up or something like that. Something that we should know and have all the extensions of interest in that thing when you don't know it. If I say, what is Christmas, you know, and Easter, you should be able to tell me what that is. All right, but these are midstream stuff. And for an iconoclast who knows a lot of things that come along down the pike of time that we here today are celebrating and stuff like that, like Christmas and Easter. If you are to go to the top of the stream of human existence and to trace out what Christmas is, what the resurrection is, who Jesus is, what would you find? If you begin to talk about in the beginning of the human existence, what would you find? These kind of things. These are midstream things, right? These are not coming from the head of the stream. These are things that people learn after, you know, the human life began. So we want to know what human being accumulate. You see what I mean? We want to know what human being accumulate since they come and started out and how it started out. All right. So I'm going to leave that with you. But what I've done, you know, is actually wipe the floor clean for you to start to, like, bring in the furniture. So you probably never thought about it this way, but it's okay. There has to be some of us who pioneer things. I make it very clear that there was no one, and you probably know that, no one on earth going back millions and billions of years. There was no human being here, right? So I make that very clear to you so you don't talk a whole bunch of garbage after we know nobody wasn't here. You will have to be able to tell me what went on, because amount of things that we have going on, especially at this time, change of the calendar is one of the things. Why was the civilized calendar changed to a moon calendar? AD versus BC. Why? Okay, you have to tell that. You know, and give account for why education and, you know, academic education, where it come from? What's the channel? You see what I mean? And no sooner than you can say that, well, you come like somebody who have clutched your Bible under your arm and not a history textbook. If you had a history textbook, you would be able to tell, answer any question anybody want to ask you, because guess what? The World History Textbook tells you. He doesn't leave anything on the floor for you to stumble over. So what I'm saying to you, if you think you believe something because you're coming up from childhood with it, believe is not knowledge, and that is very important for people to understand. When you have a belief in something, that thing you think exists somehow, but can you bring the evidence of it? You can't bring the evidence of it. You read about God in a Bible, but how did the Bible came about? You see what I mean? So you're reading about the Bible, and you know there were our ancestors who live in the past, long before a Bible was put together or papyrus write anything. They were way back in time, right? Our ancestors are only since human being came about, right? Our ancestors are since, and it depends on what time to you're talking about. So you have to go where there were no one and let them be responsible to speak for what began to happen in their time. Right? Was the first humans speaking a language and so forth. Things like that is important. You see what I mean? Because we will not know realistic truth if we don't deal with our existence like that. All right. And so I want to thank you for listening so far and hope that you have gotten something that you don't need to ask nobody any more questions, because you can go straight to the book and look at it and you can read. Don't underestimate the power of your ability to read. Do not. Because when somebody short-circuiting your knowledge of the words that you are reading and tell you something else, you're talking about you go to church and they are reading the Bible and a preacher and tell you about Adam and Eve and stuff like that, and you don't have no background for human creation. A historic beginning of time and humanity. You need to have that. If you don't have that, you don't know what you're talking about. And that Bible you have in your hand, just using you for a fool. We must have academic certification of the history of our existence. Because why would we want something less than that? You don't want nobody to tell you about they have revelation and all kind of foolishness. You see what I mean? So you must know the value of words because you can read. But if you go into church and let them fool you with all kind of stuff and tell you all kind of something when I go to and destroy your brain, really telling you to believe those things, we don't need to believe anything when we have the truth to tell us where things began. And the Bible is not doing none of that. You see? All them thing about Adam and Eve in a garden and a talking serpent. If we knew the beginning of humanity, we wouldn't get entangled with those kind of nonsense. You see what I mean? And it won't stop until we wake up and find out where we wrong at and why the world is in the shape it's in. My friends, come with me now. And before I do that, I want to... Dionne Warwick, that's what friends are for. Just think about this. That's what friends are for. Let's see. We get this now. Tune up into the context of the real meaning of what friends are for. Friends must carry a ultimate meaning to us. Friend, you can't get it more valuable. A friend, when a friend is a friend, you don't need anything else. But when a friend is not a friend, you get screwed up. But let's hear Dionne now. And before I come back to my Kalinda talk, here is the great lady and company. That's what friends are for. Let's go.
This way, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad.
Okay. There you have it. It is an appropriate melody. That's what friends are for, I tell you. You tell me what is going on in the world right now. Is this a world with a cohesive energy in government? Which government you know getting, you know, have that magnet to draw people around the world together? It is not America. 'Cause do you remember when Trump wanted the man that the Russian is destroying the other country that he claims he wants to reclaim? Putin wants to reclaim this other place. And while Trump was in office, Trump, instead of doing something that was necessary for that country, decided that, you know, he has the money to give them, but the government would have to do him a favor. And it was not a legitimate favor either. When I tell you about the fact that America is not a government, you will soon find out. Because I'm not joking, and it's not like what I'm saying is not true. But how far are we away from knowing or recognizing what is true about government? Government don't come out of a Bible. And these white people use a Bible to create government and shove aside the history that makes government. History is what established government. They don't have a government. Federal government is not a government. So all of the transaction is going on, and these are homosexual white men. They think everything must work their way. Okay? And they are who destroy the civilized world. We can't know where we're coming from or where we're going under this United States white sodomite culture government. You get it? You get it. All right. They are destroyed. And I imagine the gods are up there and looking down on us and wondering, you know, how can we allow this to happen? You know? How can we allow it to happen? Anyway, I'm going to talk about this, let's say, midstream thing. Elohim Solar Calendar. Civilization for Kingship Government, not Luna Moon. Not Moon, Luna. You get it? Let's move on. This is a very serious time that we are in. And if you love the truth, well, you will recognize it when you hear it. In the Certified National Geographic World History, Europe, recessive homosexuals, excluded in hybrid human settlement. Their taxonomy prohibited, the declaration. Okay? That's the declaration. Elohim's calendar of civilization for cities, religion,
growth of kingship government and law, not for recessive European homosexual people culture. It's not for them. You hear me? What I'm trying to tell you, there is no real government here. Go in history and you will see country was the first civilization. It's Africa. It's Africa. And then you're going to run into Mesopotamia, the Sumerians, 6,000 years ago or so. And that's where civilization begin to bloom. But civilization was here long before that. And how did civilization come about? The Bible is blocking the truth about civilization because the people who now using the Bible to establish government, they have been on the planet long before they write a Bible. They are on the planet long before the gods came here. These white people, their ancestors, hominid, been around long before the gods came to Africa. But they are writing a Bible and telling you everything that is wrong and false and a whole bunch of bramble trash, thickets and straws that they are talking about. The formula that I gave you about knowing history way up at the top of the stream, what was here before us and what happened after we come about. If you don't know that, you're not going to do nothing but believe all the foolishness that you hear. Go to the history and you will find the truth that make your soul free and mine and everybody else. So now I'm telling you that these homosexual cultures, they are going as far as they can go until they can't go no more. So now we're talking about the calendar, the first calendar, right, that the gods brought. That is civilization. The gods brought civilization. And the civilization is the gods themselves. Their spirit and attitude is civilization. And that's what they brought here to earth when they came, because they are civilized. And the way to get human being to be civilized, as long as the hominid white people them, as long as they remain on the earth, see, they die out. They died out. And it is because they interbreed with the human hybrid, why they are here today. And, interbreeding was what destroyed the brain audible. Why today we are not ruling. And eventually they drove Africa out of kingship and now turned Africa into Christianity. You know, all of this, my friends, you are going to find out as you go along that I've been right all along, because there is nobody is able to prove what law they have that bring them a U.S. Constitution. They can't tell you that. There is my tweet at Twitter. They will not respond to. You see what I mean? And they will tell you, they want to tell you something that drives you away. But they don't have anything to debunk when you bring real history to them. They don't want to talk about real history, these white people. That's why they're pushing the church and Jesus. They're pushing that. All right. Now, I'm telling you now about the calendar and tell you that the Elohim's calendar of civilization for cities, religion, growth of kingship government and law, not for recessive European homosexual people culture. It's not for them.
Civilization is not for white people. No, make nobody fool you. If you go to the head of the stream, you will find out what I say is true. And it doesn't matter the amount of business that you see they're carrying on and stuff like that. Life is in the breath. And anytime a person drop book dead, all of the stuff that they were talking, and it's a bunch of crap, trash. It don't value anything. You only value something when you can turn to the history and see it's true. And look at me. Look at me. Today, you know, I don't have anybody that even stopped by. Nobody called. Stopped by. Yes, because it is a time destroying and is a time of establishing. Because you can't defeat the power of civilization. And that's what is bothering these white people right now. They are not a part of civilization. And the opportunity they get to do what they're doing, they kill as much as they want until, you know, they get blood out of the hybrid people. And, you know, look where we are and see what's happening now. Things really got more and more abnormal for these white people. Because you can say, we are not ruling our kingship, but kingship is not dead. Kingship cannot die. It is only for a little abeyance of time. And things will change. You might can't see it, but if you read the right information, you will know that this is not for real. These white people, they're not for real. Because they just come and know something about civilization and then grab it up and twist it off and make it their what, AD and Adamani in the year of our Lord Jesus. They are so eager to take over the world that everybody can turn homosexual. They're so eager for that, that they would make up a fictional character and base their entire world government and church upon the year of our Lord. Where does that come from? When you take that to Ernamu, Amurabi, Sargon, and these are all kings, and kings before the deluge, you can't put anything they do here except, you know, you can't put anything to wipe out the ingredient of what God set up on earth. They own the earth, and these white people know it because they know where they come from. They get their blood out of the African people. That's where they started it. They are talking 100,000 years. I mean, check your history and you'll find out. What I'm telling you is the truth of the Elohim gods. Okay? And they learn to speak. They learn. They the fact that they were hate, flat-faced people of Kenya, and they, through the interbreeding process, they managed to look like human beings and not like apes anymore. That's true. You think white people are human? No, they are still apes inside of them. You see, otherwise, why would they take over the places where we settle and make us forced to accept them as rulers? Well, our people slip off the line somewhere and suffer becoming a victim of them, that their brain is gone. Because see where we are here today? We have lost our minds. What we are doing and talk about is search all the T.D. Jakes and all these other guys. You're like Billy Graham. But you're not Billy Graham because you are African ethnic person with Elohim's blood that make you talk on who you are. You see, if you knew what these white people were 1.5 million years ago, coming out of Africa and going into Europe, if you knew them then, they wouldn't look the way you see them right now. Because they go through some interbreeding stuff and lose their monkey face and then able to talk and learn academic knowledge and stuff like that. Look at them. But they only have so far to go. They only have so far to go. They are on a long rope, but a short pull in. And you will find out. See, they're into more problem that is not money it going to take them to resolve it. Otherwise, they could buy themselves out of the problem that they're in. But they, the spider's web, you know, and the cockatrice egg. That's what they deal with. Spider's web and cockatrice egg. That's what the white people them use to carry on things. And they are all about sodomy. That's what they promote. But they realize they cannot do all they want to do, but they are doing as much as to like push us back and make us develop more and more tolerant for them until we don't know anything else about civilization. That's what they are doing. You see what I mean? But I know nothing is going to deter me, but all the calendar that they take, and because they don't want to worship the gods, they want to worship their pope. That's what they use and make a god. The pope is their god. That's what a moon calendar is all about, to worship the pope. All right. Then we African people know, once our brain is gone now from 100,000 years ago where these people breed our people them and give us their bad blood, our H rhesus blood get into our blood vein, and almost, there's hardly any of us who are not suffering from brain orbital disease. Yeah, we can't do, we grow up and we think that the way we are going to church and everything is all right. But no, we are wrong. You see what I mean? And it's going to take a lot of attention and a lot for us to come to our senses about our brain deficit. Why don't we have our own government? Why these people come and do take over everywhere we settled once we leave Africa 100,000 years ago? How could they come now and talk about imperial colonialism and brag and boast that they conquer the nation on this, the entire species of the African people? That's what they're boasting about. Fourth of July, every year. Pow, 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 pow. And then Christmas and Easter too, every year. Imagine. We don't know what's going on. But the truth. So I'm going to tell you about the calendar now. And where are we? We are under the white people homosexual moon lunar calendar, and we are worshiping the Pope. Whether or not you know, that's what the fact is. Every time you talk about God, is the Pope you're talking to. You know, one time I wasn't so certain about this. The knowledge was not, you know, clear to me. But now I read more, and I see where we are coming from. You see, this is no confusion I'm talking. I'm talking about the source, the academic source that tell us where we're coming from. That's what I'm dealing with. I am saying to you, these white people and their institution. They are homosexuals, and they will always be homosexuals. Their culture, because all of them are living under law to marry homosexuals. America is not theirs. They fool you that America is their country. How many African people were here before they come here? And they come here and take control. So if you think that some of these white people are not homosexuals, well, why are there the homosexual culture? They come here and begin to pretend we're clothes like we do, fabric. That's not what they used to wear. It was animal skin. These white people, so if they are not homosexual, well, they don't maintain status quo here, holding us under invasion, under occupation, AD and Adamani, which, look, AD and Adamani don't exist as a civilized thing. There is no Jesus Christ of no Nazareth. Watch this. These homosexual culture white people will go. They will go soon too. Role of religion. Listen to this. This is World History textbook. I'm quoting to you right now. Important religious developments also characterize the new urban civilizations. All of them developed religions to explain the workings of the forces of nature and the fact of their own existence. This is talking, the World History textbook is talking about. You would never think that this type of information would be in the World History textbook, because you don't look on the these white people cause the World History textbook to be of no effect using the Bible. And these, like you would consider secular stuff according to Bible. What I'm reading here now is like secular stuff because it's not in the Bible. This is selling you clean cut from World History textbook, Role of Religion. It have nothing to do with church, right? And tell you that it is the time when the African people were being established in a higher form of life, right? That's what it says. In Mesopotamia, Egypt, India, and China. So it's the removal from little villages into urban, big civilization life now. The white people are not included in this history at all. Europe is not included into the first civilization on planet Earth. None whatsoever. Where you see Europe begin to be identified, it don't identify it under these white people at all. It's under African people, Romans, and they want to make it seem like they can't change it in history, but they try. Like they were the first Romans, but the history, if you were to argue it, they couldn't make that argument that they were Romans first. But because we have not been challenging what these people do, it's the reason why, you know, people are being smothered, and they have the money now to go against us, and therefore we don't stand a chance unless something else is going to happen. Something else is happening. So we go on now where it is telling you our rise from, you know, the Neolithic age and coming to into the Bronze Age now, 4,000 to 3,000 to 1,200 BC. Okay, this is where we are coming from. And I'm saying to you that white people or Europe are not included into this worldwide information of civilization. White people are not a part of human civilization and planet Earth as the sun shine. It's a fact. They are not. All right, you watch and see. Anytime they lose the covering, you will see what's going to happen to them. So it goes on to say that important religious, not church, development also characterize the new urban civilization. That means the way you were in the villages, it is the same kind of spirit and disposition you are having going into, let's say, a physical type of life. But deep inside of you, your spirit and soul remain in the development, important religious, you hear this? Important religious development. It's what they do because they practice, you know, a way of life. And it is telling now that coming from the little villages, like the village life, and we're coming now into the urban, right, development, characterize the new urban civilizations. You see, the life is going to be the same, and people will have a lot of, you know, like urban type things. Things are going to be of a different quality then. White people have not been mentioned in here. All of them developed religions to explain the workings of the forces of nature and the fact of their own existence. The people, the African people. Goods and material is not about white people and what they talking about they doing today. It's not today. It's back there. What was happening? White people must, you know what? They're going to take up their drawers and everything and go back to where they come from. Watch and see. Just like how they come in, they're going to go out. So it goes on to say, gods and goddesses were often believed to be crucial to a community's success. To win their favor, priests supervised rituals aimed at pleasing them. This gave the priests special power and made them very important people. Rulers also claimed that their power was based on divine approval. And some rulers claimed to be divine. Get that? Good. That's a paragraph there that very, very important. Now, look at this. Now we move, so you see the life, the economic life is going up higher now. New social structure. This is in the book, is the same book I'm reading to you, National Geographic, page 30. Okay, that's where I'm reading this. It is time to declare A. D. Anno Domini, Latin, in the year of our Lord, is uncivilized. Irrelevant. Null and void. Because it has no academic certification from the Elohim gods. Legitimate civilization, establishment. It has no validation from the power of the gods. White people not connected to the gods in history. Nothing. They don't have nothing to authenticate Jesus Christ. Nothing. No academic certification. But now they are making themselves the power to make laws. They say it's the law of the land. These guys are fucking each other, asshole, married and everything like that. And they want to come and take over the world, the civilized world. But where have all these white people originate from? Do you know? To invade all African territories and seizing all things owned by settlers, by bogus AD law. My friends, I tell you, I wish you well. And what I'm telling you because, you know, my heart and my soul feel refreshed. I don't feel like I want to sleep today. Now, welcome to our Elohim. Applause to civilization. Earth International Research Society. Welcome our newest member, Michael Tellinger. Michael is a musician, author, scientist, and an explorer from Mpumalanga, South Africa. Michael has been making groundbreaking discoveries about a vanished ancient civilization, southern tip of Africa. This continued effort and analytical scientific approach have produced stunning new evidence that will force us to rethink our origins, and rewrite our history books. Now think about that. We have to go through all these type of problem to advertise something like this. My friends, we don't value anything. The only thing, as I see so far, that makes a civilized person, moreover, uncivilized person, the civilized people will have to live like they are civilized in order to obtain anything from their status of hybrid. You know, and going to church and following the pattern of AD and Adam and Christmas, Easter and stuff like that, you corrupt, your spirit is dead. Because there is no Jesus, I don't know, cross on Adam and Eve in a garden and all them kind of thing that you're reading in the Bible. You know, so I want to thank you for tuning into the program today and hope that, if they don't turn off the mic today, well, you're hearing me like you heard the last edition yesterday. We are to have respect for our own communication, but these sodomites, they are doing everything because they think they have us down and we are always going to be down. That's what they think. That's not true. You take good care of yourself while may the gods
bless and keep us until next time.
Justice. Sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line that keeps you in the back road by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me, or something that somebody said because they thought we'd fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back road by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back road by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waiting from the back road by the rivers of my memory, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
Love and hate can never be friends. Oh no, oh no. Here I come with love and not hatred. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow I all the days of my life. Envy no one, no wish to be with no evil man. For there comes a day when you'll be free by the Father's name. Leave a fruit children. Oh yeah. Leave a pasta children. Cup running over, yeah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow I all the days of my life, yeah. Oh yeah, now. Oh
running.